Let us worship Christ, our Savior. Let us worship Christ. He's our Savior. Let us worship Him. Let us worship Him. Let us worship Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Let us worship Christ. He is our Savior. Let us worship Christ, our Savior. Let us worship Him. Let us worship Him. Let us worship Christ, our Lord.
Of the Lord this morning.
Yes, it is.
Glory to God. This is the Father's house.
Yes, it is.
This is not the hog pen.
Yes.
There is peace in the house.
Yes.
Joy in the house.
Yes.
Healing in the house.
Yes.
Salvation in the house.
Amen.
Prosperity in the house.
Yes.
Everything we need is in the house.
Amen.
Everything we want is in the house.
Amen.
It's not in the house we don't need it. Not in the house, we don't want it. Glory to God. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day. For your goodness to us, we thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning. We thank you, God, for this fellowship. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer. In Jesus' name, glory to God. I know the book of Ruth is in here somewhere.
She's hiding from you, brother.
That's this morning, that's the truth. All right, praise the Lord. We were talking about last time, we were in chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Where Ruth said, Boaz said, cleave to my men servants. or cleave to my young men until they have finished all my harvest. But Naomi said, no, that ain't what he said. Naomi said, it is good for you, that my daughter, that you go forth with his young women, that they fall not upon you in some other field. So that was the thing that is, I don't know why Ruth said what she said, because Boaz really didn't say that, but Naomi corrected her, which is good. I don't know what we make of that for sure, but anyhow, we discussed that last time. But if the women that stayed in Boaz's field were probably pretty safe. The women who stayed in the field of Boaz were probably not going to be molested. Boaz was not going to allow any kind of nonsense going on in his field.
Amen. That's good. That's good.
And as long as you stay in the Father's house.
Yeah.
That's good.
See. Don't get out of my field. The Redeemer kinsman said, don't get out of my field. Mm. You're safe in my field.
Jesus.
Nobody will bother you in my field. If you go somewhere else, I can't guarantee your safety, but if you stay in my field, you'll be all right.
Amen.
All right. Now we got a very, very, very interesting verse of scripture here. The King James says, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Which brings up an unbelievable scenario, that the next chapter talks about Boaz is winnowing barley on the threshing floor, not wheat. So if this is correct, if this is the right way to translate this verse of scripture, that she stayed to glean till the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, then what in the world, what happened to the wheat? Why was there no wheat on the threshing floor, and why was he winnowing barley on the threshing floor at the end of the wheat harvest? That doesn't make any sense. So the harvest operation was, first you cut the grain and you bind it into sheaves. Then you gather the sheaves onto the threshing floor and you knock the wheat and you knock the barley out of the heads. And then the final operation is you winnow it, which is the separation of the grain from the chaff. And that's what's going on in chapter 3. That was the final operation of the barley harvest. They were separating the wheat from the chaff. And you know, we talk about in the last days before the rapture, we believe that there's going to be a winnowing time. A time of a sifting time, sometimes we call it. Where the wheat is, or the barley, which represents Gentiles, the Gentile church, the chaff will be separated from the grain. It'll be a perfecting time. And John the Baptist said, you know, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor.
Yes.
And he will gather his grain into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
Amen.
Mon, for those of us that don't know much about winnowing, and the field, is the chaff wrapped around the little head?
The chaff grows in stalks, you know, you've seen it. Mm-hmm. But the head is, the grain is encased in organic membranes. So when you look at a head of barley or a head of wheat, you don't really see the wheat, because you see the covering over it. Well, when you knock the heads out, when you knock the grain out of that covering, then the covering is the chaff. It falls apart and it forms the chaff that is in mixed in with the grain. So
you
then
have to understand, Brother Horton is a cowboy.
Yeah. So
no.
you can't plant chaff. That's no good. If you want to plant, so before you can plant anything, you have to separate the chaff, get rid of the chaff, and get the good grain, because you can only plant the good grain. And I've done a lot of that separation. We had a machine that did that. We would dump it into a machine. We would dump a bucket full of grain and all that into a machine, and it had a big fan on it, and it would blow out all of the light chaff, and you'd have a whole pile of really fine, really itchy stuff.
Did you have a time between when it was harvested and then when you winted it? Or
you
winter it right after it was harvested?
Well, you could do it in the same, you could do it the same day, if you got it all done.
So
you could do it the same day.
When it's ripe, it's ready to winter.
You got it, but it is an operation. First, you have to cut it down, you have to put it in, you have to gather it into sheaves, and you bring the sheaves to the harvest floor, to the threshing floor. And then you have to knock the grain out of the heads, and then you begin the process of getting rid of all the chaff.
It's a process.
Okay. Now
the chaff,
obviously there's a time, because you can't do everything.
No, after you've got it picked and ready to winter, does you have to?
You have, there's no laying by time.
You can do it the same day.
Sure, there's no laying by time that you got to wait a certain period. No, no. But you just have to do it, A, B, C, D.
Yeah,
but anyway, but there's no laying by time that you got to let it wait. But
I didn't know the word laying by. So.
Yeah. So you don't have to. It's ripe already before you cut it.
Okay.
But then you got to separate the wheat from the chaff, and we sing songs about that, bringing in the sheaves. Of course, we sing that song, and then we preach messages about separating the wheat from the chaff. John the Baptist preached a message about that. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the last day's harvest process is the sifting time. There is a sifting time.
And praise that scripture though, where it says his fan is in his hand.
That's right, his fan is in his hand, and that's the way you do it. It's still the way they do it.
Alive.
They still use wind. But now in the old days, there was quite a primitive operation. They used the wind when the wind blew. So we'll talk about, you had to have some wind blowing, okay? So we'll talk about that in chapter 3, but the wind had to be blowing for you to winnow the grain. So that's why we're talking about what happens in chapter 3. But let's go on now with verse 23. Now, here's the way. So it's the translations that we get set up an impossible scenario, a scenario that simply makes no sense at all, and it's confounded Bible scholars and commentaries, and for some reason they haven't gone back and re-looked at the scripture to see whether there's might be missing something here. And I believe they are missing something, because the way that I read that, the Hebrew can say this: so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest, period. Then it was the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So there's a period there at the end of the barley harvest. She kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest. Then it was the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So we're talking about barley ripens before wheat. You harvest the barley first, then you harvest the wheat. The barley represents the Gentiles. The Gentile church will be raptured out of here before the Lord begins to deal again with the Jewish people and bring them back into the fold. The wheat represents the Jews. And the marriage takes place at the beginning of the wheat harvest. This book is read on the day of Pentecost, still today in the synagogues. The book of Ruth is read on Pentecost. Pentecost is the beginning of the wheat harvest. Pentecost is the first fruits of the wheat harvest. It's also the time when the Holy Ghost came, the grace dispensation began, the church of God was born, and the clock stopped. The prophetic clock stopped. So it was a big day. It was a big time.
Very big.
Very big time. One of the most important dates in the history of mankind.
Amen.
Was the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
One of the most important. It's the most important date since the creation of Eve.
Amen.
Because on the day of Pentecost, it was the first time that God actually tinkered with His prime creation, which was man, which was humans. He actually changed our makeup on that day.
Yes, He did.
That day was the creation of a new man.
Hallelujah.
He made it possible on the day of Pentecost to be a new person.
Hallelujah.
It had never been possible before, but on that day He changed the DNA of the human race.
On the inside.
He gave us the DNA of God.
Amen. Not a visitation.
On that day.
But housed us.
That's right. We are a new creation. It was never possible before Pentecost. But on the day of Pentecost, He tinkered with the creation, His great creation, His masterpiece, which was the human race. First time since the creation of Eve. It was a huge day. It was huge. It was huge.
Amen. Gave us a fresh breath.
That's right. A fresh breath. That's right. He breathed into our nostrils again.
Jesus.
He breathed anew into our nostrils.
Yes.
The breath of life.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. What a day.
Hallelujah.
Pentecost.
Jesus.
The beginning of the wheat harvest.
Yes.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
The first fruits of the wheat harvest. All of it we see prefigured in the book of Ruth.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Now, so and the thing is now, when the rapture occurs, it's going to be Pentecost in reverse. Pentecost in reverse. It'll be the end of the church. It'll be the end because the church is going. The church is leaving. And the marriage takes place. The bride's united with the bridegroom.
Amen.
With our new bodies.
Jesus.
We'll have bodies like His body.
Yes.
We'll forever be with Him.
Amen.
We'll ride off into the sunset. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
And then comes the wheat harvest.
Thank you, Father. We praise you.
All right. So all of this, you got to get out of this. You got to get out of this verse 23 here.
Praise you, Jesus.
Now, so it's important that, translations are important.
Yes.
Translations are important. Now, let me read to you what the Peshitta says. The Peshitta, well, before I do that, there was a man back in the 1700s by the name of Benjamin Kennicott. Got Pentecost on the brain right now. Benjamin Kennicott. Anybody ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Benjamin Kennicott. He was a theologian, scholar, Bible scholar, Hebrew scholar back in the 1700s. He went all throughout Europe and he collected Hebrew manuscripts from all over Europe and he compared every manuscript to see how they compared, whether there were any differences. And he noted the differences and there are two books that are still available today that show Kennicott's works. And it's really something to see. He had hundreds or thousands of Hebrew manuscripts, but one of his manuscripts show that when you got to, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest. That was the end of that line. And the scribe began a whole new line, which meant clearly that the scribe believed that that was the end of the sentence. So that at least one scribe that Benjamin Kennicott found in, these were medieval manuscripts and older, even back to the Middle Ages, Hebrew manuscripts, one of those scribes saw this and read it exactly as I do, exactly like this. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean to the end of the barley harvest, period. Then came the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law, which sets the stage for chapter 3. Because it's the beginning of the wheat harvest, and Boaz is cleaning off his threshing floor so that he can bring on the wheat. So Jesus has to clean off the threshing floor. He's got to clean out the Gentiles,
right, take us home, Lord.
Before he can deal with the Jewish nation.
Amen.
All right, so this is important. Now, it's interesting that the Peshitta, which was a Syriac translation from the Hebrew, back in Jesus' time, it says this, "But cleave to the maidservants of Boaz to glean until the completion of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest." In other words, what they're saying here is that this is a continuation of the speech of Naomi. Naomi says it's good for you to stay with his maidservants through the barley harvest and the wheat harvest so that they won't bother you anywhere else. That's what Naomi says. That is different than what the Hebrew says today, but it gets us to the same place. It eliminates the problem that commentators have with why in the world, if the wheat harvest had already taken place, why are they winnowing barley on the threshing floor and not the wheat? Obviously, that's not right. But either way, whether you read it like the Hebrew reads that I would read the Hebrew today, or if you read it the way the Syriac translator read it back in Jesus' time, which makes this to be a continuation of Naomi's speech. Naomi says to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It's good for you, my daughter, to cleave to his maidservants, and no man shall molest you in the field that you know not, but cleave to the maidservants of Boaz to glean unto the completion of the whole harvest." So that doesn't set up the impossible scenario that modern translators set up when they translate it the way they do, the way the King James does, which is, "So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest and dwell with her mother-in-law." Well, that's impossible. It's just impossible. That ain't what happened. So you got to go back to the draw. You missed it somewhere. You got to go back to the drawing board and figure out how you missed it. And so you got to look a little harder here. Sometimes you just have to look a little harder. Sometimes you just have to take a second look and a third look and see what you're missing. You're missing something. Something ain't right. Okay. But anyhow, so we're sure that. It was the wheat harvest had not yet begun. It was time for the wheat harvest. But it was time to clear the barley out. It was time to take care of the barley, get rid of the barley. The barley's gone. Deal with the barley.
So the barley and the wheat harvest are really, really close. They don't plant barley, then harvest it, then plant wheat.
No.
They plant them pretty close together. So
there's 50 days between, at least biblically speaking. I don't know how this works in reality. But biblically speaking, there's 50 days between the Passover is the beginning, is the first fruits of the barley harvest. The barley is ripe on Passover. Okay. You offer the first fruits of the barley harvest. Then 50 days long down the line, the wheat becomes white, and that's Pentecost, and you offer the first fruits of the wheat harvest. I don't know how that works, but nowadays, I've never seen anything like it, because barley and wheat ripen only a week or two apart. I mean, they're pretty close. But I don't know how it works. And what they did was they planted it in the fall. Mm-hmm. It laid in the ground over the winter, and then it came in the spring. Came
both of them.
Apparently.
Okay. What's that scripture? What did Jesus say? Something about the fields being white unto harvest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord of the harvest that He'll.
That's
see
right.
Into
don't say it's 4 months yet till harvest, but look on the fields are white already to harvest. Yeah.
Amen.
So that would